Welcome to Amplify Your Process Safety, the podcast that provides the experience and expertise you need when it comes to process safety and risk management. Our hands-on approach will give you the insight needed, whether you're new to industry or process safety, in a role where you interact with aspects of process safety, or an experienced process safety professional. Join us in our mission to protect people, the companies they work for, and the communities where they operate by making process safety knowledge available to all.
Hello, podcast listeners, and welcome back to the Amplify Your Process Safety podcast. I'm Rob Bartlett. Thanks for joining us. Today, I am joined by Peter Arena of CF Industries. Peter's the process safety manager there and is based out of Chicago. Welcome, Peter. How about if you introduce yourself to the audience?
Well, thank you, Rob. I appreciate it. And it's good to be here today. I can say long time listener and a first time caller, right?
Fantastic. Absolutely.
Yeah, I've been a fan of the podcast for a long time. And I will forward podcasts pretty regularly internally. So that's helping build our process safety culture right there.
All right, great.
Well, my background is in chemical engineering and environmental engineering. First started out my career as a design engineer and processes and commissioning engineer shortly after that. Some controls and reliability maintenance experience as well. And then took a turn into process safety, where I've been working at process safety, qualitative exercises like PHAs and things like that, as well as quantitative like facility setting studies for over 10 years now. And at CF Industries, my role here is as a process safety manager. So that means I'm a technical advisor within the organization. Also, I set policy and programs where we need to set up, plant a flag in the effort of continuous improvement. That's my role here, as well as in data governance for manufacturing, and more recently in leading the charge in EHS analytics within CF.
Wow. Okay, great. So sounds like you've got a good background, and the breadth of your current role seems quite wide within the process safety kind of umbrella, huh?
True. Yeah. I think especially going into the analytics side, that's something that I've been excited about. I recently had earned my master's in analytics. And I think one of the reasons that CF was intriguing to me was that I knew that they were at a good point in their journey and discovery of analytics. And I wanted to be able to support that. And so far I've been able to do that.
That's great. Sounds like maybe there's a future podcast where we can talk about using analytics in process safety, because I think that is quite far up the process safety mountain, the journey, as we call it. And that sounds like an interesting topic for the future. But today, for today's podcast, we're not going to focus on analytics. We are going to focus on some of the ways that the company has worked to improve your process safety culture. So first off, let's just kind of set the baseline. When we talk about process safety culture, what do you mean by process safety culture?
I think process safety culture is kind of going back to our CF Industries logo, which is do it right. So it's knowing the right thing to do, having the courage to do that right thing, and knowing when you have to sacrifice production because safety is priority, is paramount. And I think process safety culture means people have bought in to that concept. They internalize it. They'll make decisions along those lines. Management will support those decisions along those lines. Management will keep people accountable to those decisions as well, and to accountable to good safety practices, ensuring that that is strongly communicated across the organization. So to me, a process safety culture kind of goes back to our fundamentals of do it right.
So I heard a few things there. One of the things that I think is super important is the examples you gave. Process safety culture is a top to bottom, or bottom to top, depending on which way you want it. But regardless, it's the whole organization. It's not just one person. It's not just you going around and evangelizing about process safety. And likewise, it's not just the CEO saying, we will do process safety. You know, if you can't work safely, shut down the process and such. It's throughout the whole organization, right?
Absolutely. And I think top to bottom is true. And it's funny because I can share a story that not too long ago, you may know that there was some changes in API safety leading and lagging metrics, API recommended practice. And not long after that was released, I got some queries from upper management about where we were in assessing the changes there. So, I mean, they are paying attention, you know, and I thought some people might think, oh, boy, that's scary. But to me, it was really freeing because it meant that they get process safety, they understand the importance of it, and they're supporting that from the top.
Wow, that's unusual. And that's kind of fantastic to have people at the top even aware that API standards exist and or when they get changed and be engaged in that enough to say, hey, I saw this was changed. What's your plan for, you know, implementing or whatever? So that's fantastic. And, you know, I wanted to just share one of the stories that I kind of see this over and over again. When I help companies implement process safety programs and kind of early in the journey, right? And I don't really have a name for the metric, although I should come up with a funny name for it, but it has to do with MOCs. When you start a PSM program and you start implementing a management of change program, what's the question that everybody gives you? Do I need an MOC for this? I'm changing this in the plant. Do I need an MOC? Well, the fact that you put change in what you were describing to me probably means you need an MOC. Basically, if you need to ask, it probably needs an MOC. So that's early on in the journey when there's essentially no process safety culture. However, as companies implement and people get better and their understanding gets better, eventually you get to the point where the question isn't, do I need an MOC for this? The question is, where's your MOC for that? So when you've got engineers or maintenance folks wanting to do something out in the plant and an operator says, well, where's your MOC for that? That's where I feel that you're definitely making progress with your process safety culture. So, okay, so we've defined process safety culture. And of course, you're in a company that obviously really embraces process safety and makes it part of the culture. In the past, how is the company, and this may be since you've been there or even, you know, before that, but what have they done to improve process safety culture in the past?
Yeah. So, and I think it is core to what we do. We, CF Industries, we are a fertilizer manufacturing company, nitrogen-based fertilizers. So, you know, we take something that's flammable, natural gas, right? And we run it through a process which then converts it into hydrogen. So, you know, that's no picnic either. Also
that's
flammable.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got from bad to worse.
Right. So, yeah, a lot more hazard potential there. And then we take that and we react that to form ammonia. So that's very toxic, right? So,
yeah.
For us, it's been a part of our culture. It had to be part of our culture from the beginning, and we've embraced that. But I think that over the past 6 years or so, there has been an increased level of importance, I think, within CF Industries and making sure that our programs are as good and better than our peers, the way it similarly is in other safety-related metrics. So we've had a lot of focus on really the bread and butter process safety fundamentals things and making sure that we're improving those at a ground level. So that's MOC programs like you're talking about. Incident investigation programs have been stronger by better education, by employing tools also that enable people to determine when and identify when those issues are flagging, right? So the strength has been in standardization and education of our personnel to ensure that those programs are never really, really still. And then we're also measuring that and you know, just kind of getting back into the metrics a little bit, but also we're measuring that performance metric wise as well and reacting when we identify that there's something that's not as good as it should be.
So what I'm hearing there is things like training, things like kind of continuous improvement of programs at the plant level, measurement of metrics, and then responding when those metrics start to show that there may be a problem. So
right.
Kind of
I think that's at the ground stage, yes. And we have also process safety councils within our organization that's representing each location. We have 9 manufacturing locations that are North America and the UK. So the representative from those locations then will compare notes, so to speak, and help elevate share best practices. So that's like a very ground level part of our process safety culture. But then I mentioned before, from the top as well, we have regular meetings where there are real questions about when things didn't go exactly as planned with respect to process safety and how do we improve that. So it's a bi-directional culture.
Great. Great. Okay. So that's a little bit of what we mean by culture. And I think, and you said some things in your intro that I think were really important to this, but it really comes down to people doing the right thing related to safety, but in our case here, related to process safety and just having that kind of ingrained, like it's almost instinctual. There's no worry about, well, if I do this, upper management might be mad at me, or upper management, you know, having different expectations such that they're not aligned with not just following the PSM or the RMP regulations, but also, like you said, doing the right thing. So that's fantastic. So that's basically when we talk about process safety culture, that's what we're talking about. And I think the things that you've done in the past, very similar to what we see in a lot of places. I do like the idea of the process safety council in companies that have a lot of facilities, that kind of best sharing best practices and what problems are you having. No matter what, it helps to improve the what I call the PSM IQ of, you know, of the organization. So that's all fantastic. So we've talked about doing a podcast for a while, but we're doing this podcast specifically because you were kind of excited. You guys held a process safety event recently to further improve your process safety culture. So can you tell me a little bit more about that?
All right. Thanks. Yeah. And I think the things that I mentioned and a good practitioners, that is, you know, those practitioners that don't have process safety red flags, right? They're doing those things too. And I think I laud those programs that are out there, the people that are supportive of those programs across the industry. But I think one thing that we did at CF that's very special that I have not seen really across the board, and I would like to see, I think, catch more, is this idea of a process safety week. And the idea is, I think, summarized well in our slogan that we used for that process safety week, which was every process safety for all. We celebrated this process safety week on October 17th or 21st of 2022. We had the idea that we wanted to explain to the layperson the importance of process safety just the same way that they understand occupational safety, and this is the way that they understand environmental safety. And then through that, the goal was to strengthen safety awareness, build our culture through that way, and extend that knowledge beyond just the operators and engineers that might live it on a regular. It's so that we can build a pipeline into process safety and help gather and garner support over time.
I like your tagline, every process safety for all. That should be the tagline across the industry. Okay, so you had a kind of a focused event. Who was the audience for this? Was it bottom to top, or was it really more focused toward the lower part of the organizational structure?
Yeah, I think it was especially focused to celebrate the achievements of our process safety and our broader operations and engineering and management team, but showcase that in a way that the layperson can understand. So we had a vision that we wanted this to be, it's got to be educational. People across the organization have to understand what process safety is and what it means the same way that they would understand other parts of EHS programs.
Yeah.
So that way it's kind of inherently inclusive. Like we're trying to build that group together of understanding and not just have it kind of siloed in one specific part of the company as naturally will happen, right? Because process safety is kind of a technical thing. So it'll tend to be with the operations people and, you know, and the technical people. But we also needed it to be entertaining, right? We can't really be educational, and people are not going to want to include themselves in something unless it's fun, unless it's in a way talking about very serious concepts, but in a way that they can understand and they will want to watch the next one because it informs them in a way that they come out with a positive experience about it.
Yeah, I'm a believer in trying to take a subject which is seen to be very dry and very technical and you know, quite frankly, just not fun to talk about, and just, you know, doing what you can to make it as entertaining as possible. Sometimes you can't. And that's why when Wesley Carter and I, when we were first starting the company and we were talking about doing a podcast, that's one of the things that I said was, I don't want it to be a dry, boring podcast because people won't listen. And we still have people listening, you know, 2.5, I guess almost 3 years later. So
I think if you have people working with passion on a topic, right, like you do, and I think that comes through. So our idea was we wanted to connect the passionate people and explain things in a way that anybody can understand, and people can then kind of tap into that passion and understand why a person is passionate about process safety.
Yeah. Okay, great. Okay. So love what I'm hearing. Now, I guess my next question is more tactical. So what did it look like? You know, what did you do? Did you shut plants down? Did you not? Was it all, was it videos? Was it PowerPoints? Was it at people on the ground? Were there activities? So lead me through kind of, you know, what did the week look like out in the plants?
We tried to have as few PowerPoints as possible. That's a very important concept.
Yeah.
So we started first on branding. So, you know, I mentioned every process safety for all. We also developed some branding internally that made sense to our internal CF folks. Of course, this is CF facing, right? So that people can tap into the broader CF branding, tap it into a specific process safety event, and then we're kind of building off of that structure, that branding structure that already exists.
Yeah.
And one of the challenges we knew we had was people don't inherently know what a management of change system is. The office manager, right, the person stocking stores somewhere, they're not going to know what process safety concepts or management of change. So we needed to educate people in an entertaining way. And we did that in the run up to Process Safety Week. So in about the 6 weeks leading up to Process Safety Weeks, we made a series of micro videos, 2 to 3 minute long videos that talked about small parts of process safety programs and try to make those videos in an entertaining way, such that at the end of that, then we then had a broader base of people that knew what these process safety concepts were. So the run-up was very important as an overall part of our Process Safety Week. Then during Process Safety Week itself, our locations implemented like process safety themed events during that time. And those events, you know, of course, would vary tailored to each location. Okay. And the third foundation of that was we wanted something memorable at the end during Process Safety Week that would wrap everything up. So we had a trivia contest that was themed as a poetry contest to kind of put the exclamation point on Process Safety Week.
And how was the participation in that?
It was awesome. So the videos that we had were, we looked at the analytics. Of course, you know, we're going back to analytics again here. But so the videos were getting about 400 engagements or so per video of the 6 ones that we did, which, I mean, we're a 3,000 person company, right? So we had about 15% or something like that of the workforce that were engaging with these videos and watching them. That is a phenomenal number as far as I'm concerned for any video that you'd watch. And it's a pretty high number for videos that we would normally have. The people that we were reaching people at the headquarters office, which is as far away from a plant as you can get. I think it really achieved those goals of what we were trying to do. Those videos certainly did, at least, and other parts did. We could talk about that too. But the videos it was exciting to see that kind of engagement, and people were emailing me and talking to me after as I was traveling around locations, and then they were laughing or they were sharing their favorite parts of different videos that they'd seen. So people were really watching it. It was good to see.
Yeah, that's, you know, I think that the first, you know, you may look at that 15% number and be a little, say, well, that's kind of low. But if you do anything, throw anything out to the general public and get 2% of the people, like a survey or something like that, you just can't expect those things. The other thing is that I'm sure that, you know, as with anything, you got the 80-20 rule, you got the 20% who are going to watch something like that, which is, you know, it's about what you got. But they are infecting, they are sharing that, they are talking about it with the other folks who may or may not have actually brought the video up, but somehow it got into that culture. And that's really what you're trying to do. You're really not trying to get somebody to watch a video. You're trying to get people to be talking about process safety and process safety culture and how important it is. And, you know, whether it's MOC programs or PHAs and or PSI and all that sort of stuff, it's important to get people talking about those. And you've got to think that those 15% talk to a few other people about this. So that 15% grows to 50% really quickly. And then, you know, and then that's how you kind of build on that. I'm a little curious. Did you see an increase through the week, like kind of started small and more, you know, as people say, oh, I see what this is. And oh, yeah, that's kind of funny. And oh, I'll watch that one. So did it grow over time or was it pretty much level out of curiosity?
It did grow over the 6 weeks that we had the videos. Yes. Yeah. On the bottom end, it was still like 300-ish engagements. And then on the top end, it was at that 400 level. So we did see as people were like becoming more aware of it. And these videos, they were homegrown videos. I didn't accentuate that. I went out to the location PSM leads and said, let's do a video on for in the run of the process safety week. And most people are like, okay, but there were a few people that were like, okay. And right. they ran with it. So these videos, they were not like produced at my level, or we didn't go to an external company to make these videos. These are homegrown videos. We just worked with them on the concepting to, so that we were kind of having some similar themes, but these were creations of locations. And I was so pleased that people to show their creativity.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's pretty amazing what you can do with an iPhone or an Android nowadays. So
true.
We need a YouTube for process safety where people do that sort of thing. So, okay. Yeah. So you had these videos, and then like during the week, did the sites have their own things? Did you guys give them the information? How much time did it take? Stuff like that. Anything to throw out?
What worked, what didn't? I think like we'll talk about the videos a little bit. The time, I think each video, now these videos were really short because we just want to get the interesting parts, right? So these videos are about 2 to 3 minutes in length. To create that, generally, it would take a couple of hours of total time. Like, you as a podcast producer, I'm sure.
I know.
Right. So it'd be take a couple hours of time. We would take a few hours of scripting beforehand and a little afterwards. So it was, you're talking about a handful of hours that several people might be committing to help produce and make these each of the videos. Yeah. For what the locations did during Process Safety Week, it varied. A lot of times it was informative, so they would have specific process safety themed toolbox talks, or they would go talk with operations about historical incidents. Those are kind of like the pretty standard practices that were done for Process Safety. But some of the locations were a little bit more, out of the box. One of our locations, they had like a lunch event where they handed out, I won't say the brand name of the potato chip, but they were going for layers of protection potato chips. So, kind of take your imagination where that would go in the potato chip.
It's not a far jump. It's not a far jump. Even I can get that one.
Right.
So I love that. I love being creative about bringing in process safety concepts that are important and they may not actually get exposed to. So I love that. I may use that sometime. I wanted to touch base though. You said incidents about previous incidents. So one of the things that I use routinely and that I've seen other folks use related to incidents, right? So I wasn't actually at the plant when it happened, but I was working with a plant that had a very significant incident almost 12 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And so you have a big incident. And luckily, and I mean really luckily, nobody was killed, but still very significant. And the folks who went through that, that group of people, they suddenly find a religion about process safety, right? They now really can feel at a real visceral level, oh, this is why process safety is important. Okay, great. Over time, that degrades. Yeah. People leave, new people come in, blah, blah, blah. And you get to the point where you've lost that critical mass of people that went through it. So now the challenge is, how do we still use that event that happened to us and make sure that the people in the future know that? And with this particular client, they've had some turnover recently, which kind of brought this to light. And I just realized, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's like one management person who went through that kind of that real devastating period. And I asked some of the new folks, I'm like, have you had any information or like about the incident, what happened, blah, blah, blah. And there really wasn't that much. So I've started to kind of take it upon myself when dealing with that company and that's particularly that site to use that, saying, guys, yes, this can happen here. This is what happened. Here's a picture. This is what it looked like after this event happened. Yes, nobody was killed. Some people were hurt. And it really was traumatic for the facility. So anyway, I not to go off on a tangent, but I think you can use those incidents, especially, it's one thing to say, well, we like to learn from the mistakes of others. So you talk about, BP Texas City, or you talk about, Pasadena, all of these process, the Bhopal, the normal process safety culture or process safety incidents. But the ones that happened here or the ones that happened at our company are, those really need to be used. So anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. Any comments?
Yeah, no, I agree fully. We do have to take a look at what happened in the past and learn from those. That's fundamental. It's hard to do, right? It takes effort. That's why process safety is a continuous improvement operation, right? So we are always trying to think about how do we change the dynamics of what we are communicating. How do we change the dynamics of our programs? That's getting to the heart of process safety culture improvement. And it's, I think we can't forget those things. I think there's also a times and places to remind people of those events, right? There are plenty that we can go. We can go to CSB, right, and .gov and check out all kinds of incidents that relate. I think that a good process safety culture will also expand that messaging to go beyond just the events, though, and remind ourselves that there's people that are day-to-day working on these programs that are trying to improve it, and showcase those people and their efforts as well. Because a steady stream, and I see this in some programs, a steady stream of just talking about the incidents, while it's informative, it's like watching C-SPAN, you know, like all day long, right? It's like you're gonna get denured to these incidents, and it's like, oh, another incident talk, you know. Yep. But I think if we can diversify the way that we communicate about process safety concepts and highlight people who are doing great things, programs that are doing well, and also about just concepts, theoretical concepts themselves, I think we're hitting all kinds of parts of the human psyche, and that's going to make those incident discussions all the more relevant, because a person has been flooded or has been introduced to all different kind of concepts related to process safety.
Process safety culture and process safety IQ and process safety training, whatever, you know, whichever way you're going at it, it's a slow, continuous process. You don't go to a process safety training and say, all right, I'm trained. I'm all good. As you say, it's continuous improvement. Okay, we could go down that rabbit hole for a very long time, but let's pull it back to your process safety week. So you've been through this. It sounds like it was a success. So I think maybe the last question that I've got for you in this is, what suggestions do you have for others who might want to kind of give this sort of a thing a try in their organizations?
Yeah, great question. So I think my first advice is go for it. Be bold. Put yourself out there. And if you end up not achieving your expectations, you know, if you fail forward at least, right? Fail trying. Right. Yeah. But that said, I don't think it's going to fail, because what we found out was there is an audience for people who want to learn about process safety the way that they learn about other types of concepts. You can do amazing things even with relatively few, you know, money resources and relatively few time resources. You know, we had definitely amped up our process safety coverage this year in talking about this process safety and what we did. Yep. But it wasn't a high dollar event that we were trying to go after, right? We were using location resources and time, because they're the ones who are going to get the benefit as people then, as our process safety culture improves and if it broadens, those people who are in process safety roles are going to then be more connected to the organization. So be bold. If you fail, fail forward. I think go for it is the top line. You know, mm-hmm. Don't be afraid of the saying, oh, well, are people going to be interested? People will be interested if you package it in a way that's going to intrigue them. Now, that said, the second thing I think you'd want to do, or another thing you want to do, is find your tribe. Find the people who are passionate about this. As I said before, when I first said, oh, we're going to amp up process safety week this week, some people were like, some people were like,
give me a break. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but there were a few people who were like, all right, we're in, you know? So You find those people, they're the sparks that are going to light the overall flame.
Yeah. And that's just basic change, you know, cultural change management, you know, find those people that are those ones that are going to be, I'm not going to call them zealots, because that's got a bit of a negative connotation, but those people that are going to be excited and they're going to be willing to take that message, carry it forward. And then, as you said, infect the organization, right?
Right. And I think that there's a couple of other secret sauce tips that I can throw in.
Sure.
Which is, of course, you need to get leadership buy-in on this, right? So in my case, I talked to my supervisor about that. He's the VP of EHS. And he was like, yes, let's do this in a bigger way this year. And we did. So that top level buy-in was good, but also we need to get buy-in across multiple levels. So getting buy-in, you know, you find your passionate people, but you also, those passionate people are not always necessarily the people who are going to let the resources flow, right? So getting good leadership buy-in is important, but you can talk with them about convincing them why there's benefit to the organization to doing this. It's not just tilting it at windmills, so to speak.
Sure.
And other places that you can go to are you connect with your company's ongoing programs, like our inclusion resource group here in CF Industries is a good connection point, because locations are constantly looking for events that are meaningful and interesting to put on for their local audiences, right? So if you can tap, it doesn't have to all be on the process safety group. You can tap into employee activities groups, inclusion resource group in our case, or employee events coordinators, and they will help spark like those ideas of what you're going to do. And there is a market, so to speak, for that as well. Is my last point is, now in the desire and the importance of ESG, of making sure that we're talking to our community about making sure that we're talking internally about safety concepts, including process safety, companies want to make a difference, and they want to show to the world they're making a difference. And doing something like this Process Safety Week is one of those many types of ideas that an organization can say, yes, we supported Process Safety Week. We were involved in it, or whatever it might be to your organization, month or day. And say, yes, we planted our flag and we ran a successful event and we improved our process safety culture in this way. And there is absolutely a market for that as well. And I think wrapping it all up, I would say that for people who are passionate about this, who are listening to those podcasts and thinking, yeah, we can do that. My advice to you is, yes, you absolutely can. Be bold, be creative, and then find those other passionate people. And there is an audience for these kind of events on many levels.
That's fantastic advice. As I said, it's, you know, I've been dealing with trying to, you know, improve cultures, not just process safety cultures, but, you know, whether it's safety or environmental or other sorts of, you know, morale, all that sort of stuff. And this is basically a lot of the same sort of advice that you're giving is what you would do for those. So this isn't something new and different, but it is, in my mind, this is using an almost kind of more of an established tool or something that, you know, we've been doing for years and years, and just focusing it on process safety, using that tool in this, you know, for this to improve the process safety culture. So fantastic. Peter, I appreciate that. Okay, so I'm going to turn around to the podcast listeners out there. Have you experienced challenges in implementing or improving a process safety culture in your organization? Have you had particular success or successes that you like to pass on to other folks? Please let us know. And in fact, Peter is a good example of that process, because he had this idea and he reached out to me and said, hey, Rob, I've got this thing that we've done that I think is fantastic. Can we do a podcast? So if you have something similar, I would love to hear about it, as I'm sure Peter would, as well as the rest of our audience. So send us a voicemail using the link in our episode description, or you can always shoot us an email and send that to podcast@amplifyconsultants.com. And finally, our goal here at Amplify Process Safety is to save lives by partnering with companies that handle highly hazardous chemicals like natural gas or hydrogen or ammonia, in this case, real nasty stuff, to create world-class process safety systems, as it's our firm belief that these systems will help to prevent catastrophic incidents like fires, explosions, and toxic releases. Please don't hesitate to reach out if we can help you in any part of your process safety journey. And Peter, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to finally get you on the podcast, and I very much appreciate you sharing your experience with us.
Thank you, Rob. It's been a pleasure and honor to be here, and I hope everyone listening has a safe process day.
Fantastic. And I will close by saying to the audience, thank you for listening as always. And until next time, be safe out there.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of Amplify Your Process Safety. Head to our website, amplifyconsultants.com, to find our show notes and other resources. Thank you for joining us in our mission to ultimately save lives by advancing process safety right here on Amplify Your Process Safety. Until next time.